This hour of programming is brought to you by the listeners of WEFT and Pizzeria Antica, which strives to provide Champaign-Urbana with an authentic Neapolitan pizza experience, preparing only fresh, all-natural, non-processed ingredients in wood-fired ovens. Taking pizza orders from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Phone 217-530-4137 and online at anticachampaign.com.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. I'm sorry I was just a couple of seconds late here and you had a little dead air, but dead air happens sometimes. Before I get into the show, I want to have a little Tom Morello. Which side are you on?
How the good old Union is coming here to dwell. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Which side are you on?
scab for the bosses don't listen to their lies. Poor folks ain't got a chance unless they organize. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side?
Hey, yes, yes, yes. Which side are you on? And sometimes both sides are on the same side. This is, of course, 2016, a presidential election year. And our choices are between the bad candidate and the worst candidate. And that happens every 4 years, or at least it has for the past many presidential elections. And that's because our country has been taken over by the one percenters. So they get to put the people up to run, both Democrat and Republican. And the only difference between the two parties, main parties, on the vast majority of issues is the very small nod that women get, gays get, lesbians get, transgender get, from the Democratic side, and the nod of the head that the Republicans give, men of shall we say, ethnic purity. That's especially this year. They get a nod of the head to religions that want to control people's lives, literally, not through belief, but through law. Some religions would use Sharia law. The Republicans want to use Christian doctrine, or at least their version of it. The Republicans give a nod of the head to all of those people who are anti-race, anti-a particular race. They want to give a nod of the head to people who are intolerant for any number of reasons. And both sides try to pull their little coalitions together. And the vast majority of us sit in the middle trying to figure out which side is going to hurt us the least. Because for the past many years, both sides have been working for the one percenters, and therefore middle class Americans are being crushed. Middle class Americans are being crushed by both Democratic and Republican policies. The Republicans, famously or infamously, in 2005, made it illegal for the government to interfere or regulate the price of drugs. So we have EpiPens now that went from a two-pack costing $99 to a two-pack costing $600. EpiPens, the epinephrine that is the primary ingredient of the EpiPens, the epinephrine that's inside those pens has a total cost to the manufacturer of about $3 per pen. So $6 worth of drug is going into a $600 product, which includes the delivery system, the pen, the needle. And the Republicans made it such that the government is not supposed to interfere between the drug manufacturers and the people when it comes to pricing their products. Because there is competition out there. We all know there's competition. Look at the media. All of the competition out there. Tremendous amounts of competition. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox, Chicago Tribune newspapers, Wall Street Journal, New York Times. The media in this country, 80% of the media available to people in this country is controlled by fewer than 10 billionaires. 10 one-tenth of one percenters. And of course, you've got Republicans in a presidential election year that are all about the death tax. We've got to do away with the death tax because nobody should have to be taxed twice. So we've got to do away with the death tax. The reality of the death tax, or the inheritance tax, as it has been called by more reasonable people, is that about 0.2% of the people that pass away have to pay federal estate taxes. 0.2%. And yet that is one of the main planks of the Republican platform, is elimination of the death tax. As though everybody had to pay taxes when they die. And the reality is that a married couple that passed away and had less than $10 million and did any kind of reasonable estate planning would indeed have to pay some estate taxes. I don't know about you, but I'm not one of those people. Maybe you're a $10 million heir, and maybe you're not. Most of us are not. It's 17 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. And as you may have gathered by now, I am getting off to a little bit of a flustered presentation today. And there's a number of reasons for that. I've been fighting the medical establishment with my mother-in-law for the past couple of weeks, and they seem to love to do her surgeries on Wednesday evenings, so I've been called away for that. I've had a little bit of a personal inconvenience Sunday. I managed to fail to avoid the deer that came charging out of the cornfield in front of me at about 10 o'clock, or about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know. At night, I have had two encounters with deer while driving a car. One of those encounters, I broke a small piece of the grill of my car because I did bump into him. The second time, the deer managed to leave a perfect set of nose prints on the passenger side rear window of my car. And this time, the deer took out my grill and radiator. So I'm carless. Some people are homeless. I'm carless today. So tomorrow, I will be homebound. I will not be able to leave the house because my wife has to go to work. And her work tomorrow takes her to Chicago. So she gets to get up early in the morning and go to Chicago and spend the day and come home. Anyway, I'm a little bit flustered. And that's just the tip of the iceberg in the things that are going on in my head right now. But I do want to remind you that this is indeed the Midwatch. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is a call-in show, and I hope that you will call in and help me out, because I could use a little help from my friends tonight, keeping me on track, up to date, up to speed, with things that we need to talk about. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers, do not necessarily reflect those of WFT, its board of directors, station manager, associates, or Prairie Air, Inc. The number to call is 217-359-5483. That's 217-359-5483. That's 217 Fly Live. You can be live on an unscreened call-in line, and we can talk about Donald and Hillary, or we can talk about Donald and Bruce, or we can talk about any number of other things. But as you noticed from what I just said, the airwaves, even here at WFT, when we talk politics, are inundated with talk about Donald Trump. From my perspective, the inundation is something that should be avoided because it does give him free name recognition. I hope that the free name recognition will let you recognize how un-American, unpatriotic, unconstitutional Donald Trump's attempt to become president of the United States would be. There is a statue in the harbor of New York City. And now on that statue, it calls out to the world to send us their huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Donald Trump and the conservatives want to stop that. We have Mark Kirk running for Senate in Illinois and Tammy Duckworth running for Senate in Illinois. Mark Kirk, in his first senatorial campaign, bragged about his military service during Desert Storm, how he was a bigwig in the intelligence part of the military. And the truth of the matter is, he wasn't a bigwig, and he was not in Iraq for Desert Storm in 1991. His service time during Desert Storm was spent in the United States. But he lied to y'all. And now he questions Tammy Duckworth's loyalty, integrity, patriotism. And of course, Tammy Duckworth was a real American hero during the second Iraq War. Tammy Duckworth was a helicopter pilot, and the RPG that slammed into her helicopter took off both of her legs, did permanent injury to her right arm, and Mark Kirk wants you to think that she does not want to keep America safe. She sacrificed to keep America safe. Mark Kirk capitalized on his service, not in the field, but in the way, 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 way backfield, and pretended he was in the field. Tammy Duckworth sacrificed for this country, and Mark Kirk would have you believe that she does not want to keep America free because she is willing to allow refugees to come to the United States, primarily from Syria, but the Middle East in general. He says that that makes us less safe. He says that the FBI says that they can't guarantee that there will not be a ISIS terrorist among the refugees. Well, Mark, here's a news flash. The evening weatherman cannot guarantee that lightning will not strike your home either. But the chances of lightning striking your home are hundreds of times higher than the chances of a Syrian refugee being an ISIS sympathizer. You see, it's the ISIS organization that has made them flee. Could they infiltrate the refugee column? Possible. Could your house be struck by lightning? Relatively probable. You see, lightning is an act of God. A person seeking asylum, seeking to be a refugee, is a human being. And they go through a vetting process to get here. They are vetted to the highest degree of anybody coming to this country. If you're serious about stopping ISIS terrorists from sneaking their way into this country, you should stop all student visas. I think it was four of the 1911 terrorists that came in on student visas. Nearly 25%. Well, a little more than 25% of the 19. But when you look at the number of terrorists that have came to the United States since 9/11 through a program of refugee status, the number of terrorists, the number of ISIS, the number terrorist sympathizers that have came to this country is less than a dozen, and none of them have killed an American. They have all been guilty of sending money back to their home country, sometimes knowing that the money is going to a Al-Qaeda sympathizer, and sometimes just because it's their cousin that needs some money. But their cousin is an Al-Qaeda sympathizer. The one way that Republicans always try to use, the one thing that Republicans always try to use to get people to vote for them is fear. If they can make you afraid of the potential ISIS terrorist coming in on a visa for people who are running away from ISIS, they can make you afraid of all people that wear burkas, if they can make you afraid of all people that wear the hijab, I think that's the way it's pronounced. I'm not sure. Somebody could help me by giving me a call at 217-FLY-LIVE and make sure that my pronunciation is correct. I would appreciate that. Fear. Donald Trump uses fear. All of those Mexican illegals are rapists and murderers. Some of them are thieves. And the best they can be is a drug dealer. Donald Trump said that. And today he met with the president of Mexico. And for some unknown reason, he didn't bring that up. Heck, he didn't even bring up the fact that Mexico was going to have to build a wall if he was president of the United States. He forgot to mention that to the president of Mexico, too. You're going to have to build a wall. He forgot to mention it. Oh, one other thing that Donald forgot, too. When he was standing on the podium with the Mexican president, the Mexican president remembered to bring his Mexican flag. Donald, not so much. We don't need no stinking American flag. I'm the Donald. They don't want to put an American flag behind me so people will know I am from America. So be it. I'm the Donald. You're fired. Oh, my God. By the way, Hillary Clinton was invited to go to Mexico today as well. Hillary Clinton wanted to bring her American flag. Hillary Clinton did not go. But Donald was willing to leave the American flag behind. And you Republicans think he's a good guy. Really? Really? It's 35 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign, 90.1 FM. Normally, I kick my show off with Connie's Hot Flashes on the movies. Doing things a bit different tonight? Here's Connie.
A 14-hour hostage ordeal riveted the nation in August of 1972 and ended up inspiring the movie Dog Day Afternoon, which is playing at the Art Theater this week. Based upon the notorious actions of John Wachtowicz, Al Pacino portrays the man in the 1975 film. A critical success, Dog Day Afternoon earned 6 Oscar nominations and 1 Best Screenplay. And now it's appreciated as being one of the first movies to address LGBT issues for a mainstream public, although through an unlikely hero for gay rights. The success of Pacino's portrayal, a sanitized version of the complete truth, sprang from the hero-villain image of his character. The events on screen took place on August 22, 1972, at a Chase Manhattan Bank branch in Brooklyn. There, Wachtowicz was able to take hostages and eventually convince them and the many onlookers to be sympathetic to his plight, being seen as the little guy fighting against an unjust system. The background on what transpired that day concerns a Vietnam vet and a once married man who kept his homosexual inclinations not so much on the lowdown. He did actually decide to rob a bank to pay for his boyfriend's sex change surgery, and in the aftermath of the crime, Watch DeWitt's tale became the stuff of legend. In reality, little was heard from him afterward, yet there is a documentary from 2014 entitled The Dog that includes extensive interviews where he discusses the pivotal events. Certainly, truth is stranger than fiction. It seems that the night before the robbery, Watch DeWitt's and his accomplices staked out in a New Jersey hotel, plotting the robbery. Watch DeWitt's had agreed to pay his friend Westenberg $50,000 for the assistance, but it turned out that he also had a romantic yen for him because Westenberg had a penchant for dressing in female attire. An agreement was reached. Westenberg would be a bank robbing accomplice with benefits. Ironically, previously, Watch DeWitt's met his wife Carmen at a bank where they both worked in the mid-60s. However, soon after he was drafted and realized his homosexual orientation and acted on it. After his stretch in Vietnam, Watch DeWitt's, although still married, joined the Gay Activists Alliance and was enthusiastically involved socially in the gay community. Being on the entertainment committee, Watch DeWitt's was in charge of meeting and greeting new gays. Although not all the members approved of his overt enthusiasm, since he carried his unbridled PDA into a bit too many private initiations. An unprofessional image for the politically motivated alliance, they had to drop him. They broke ties because his behavior started to edge into notoriously loony shenanigans. Separated from Carmen, Watch DeWitt's met Ernie Aron in 1971, a transgender woman who went by the name Liz. The two married in a non-binding ceremony. However, Eden's friends did not like Watch DeWitt's due to his frequent erratic antics and a tarnished reputation. However, over the following year, Eden talked about a sex change operation, which initially Watch DeWitt's was against. But after Eden tried to kill herself, Watch DeWitt's decided the surgery was needed to save her life and hatched the plan to rob a bank. As depicted in Dog Day Afternoon, the crime turned into a 14-hour circus that had over 2,000 onlookers rooting for him, who at one point threw money out to the crowd. Although Westenberg had bailed as a partner in the crime, the other partner in crime, Naturale, was killed by the FBI, and Watch DeWitt's wound up serving 5 years in prison. The man sold film rights to his story, and the money was used for the sex change operation, but after it, Liz broke up with Watch DeWitt's, who then tried to kill himself by slitting his wrists. But happy endings surfaced when Watch DeWitt's found true love in prison, committing himself through wedding vows to a fellow con, George Heath. They were sprung in 1978, and the two moved in with Watch DeWitt's mother. And the man applied for a job, and believe it or not, it was to be a guard at Chase Manhattan Bank. He didn't get the job, so he had to settle for a janitorial position elsewhere. Still loving fame, if not fortune, Watch DeWitt's would stand in front of the Chase Manhattan Bank, sometimes signing autographs and wearing a t-shirt that read, "I robbed this bank." He died of cancer in 2006. Dog Day Afternoon is playing at the Art Theater this week, and although you may know the movie's storyline, now you know the storyline behind the storyline. And that wraps it up this week for Connie's Hot Flashes on the Movies.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE, that's 217-359-5483, 217-359-5483. Give me a call, add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. We can indeed figure stuff out. I am certain of it. Absolutely certain. A little bit more, maybe, about the meeting that Donald Trump had with the Mexican president. One of the first issues that the Trumpster brought up was Mexican sending their worst people to the United States. They're criminals, they're rapists, they're whatever, bad guys. In a news conference after the meeting, Donald Trump admitted that he did not even bring up the issue, the signature issue, the primary issue that so many of you voted for the Donald on, was the construction of the wall. He didn't even talk to the president of Mexico about it because the president of Mexico has already said, uh-uh, we're not paying for no stinking wall. Why should we? And why should they is true. Donald Trump has been lambasting, has been complaining about NAFTA and other treaties. When the president of Mexico said that he liked NAFTA, Donald Trump was quiet as a church mouse. Didn't immediately tell the president of Mexico that he was going to revisit NAFTA. And the reason he didn't is because NAFTA is a great moneymaker for the one percenters. Middle class Americans, like the ones that used to live in Detroit, lost their behinds. But the one percenters have made billions off of NAFTA. You see, all of those car plants in Detroit and other Michigan cities found out that it was almost, found out that it was literally closer to build cars in Mexico than it was to build cars in Detroit and ship them to California. Los Angeles, San Francisco. Since the labor costs in Detroit were $20-$25 an hour with benefits, and the labor cost in Mexico was a fraction of that number, and generally no benefits, they could do that and make billions of dollars for themselves and their companies. They could give their executives ridiculous bonuses, pay them 4,000 times the average salary of the rest of their employees. And they did. Now, those executives that gave themselves those huge pay raises are the executives that the libertarians believe would run this country justly, because they would bring back true laissez-faire capitalism. The one with the most money gets to make the most money. The one with the least power gets crushed. And that's the way it works when corporations are able to crush middle-class Americans. On a whim, if you will. One of the biggest backers, if you will, of Donald Trump's wall with Mexico was a man by the name of, and still is, by the way, a man by the name of Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity basically got his lunch handed to him because he's been preaching for weeks now, or he preached for weeks when Trump first said it, that Trump was going to make Mexico build a wall. I think even Hannity has started to see that that's not going to happen. But Hannity's pretty slow worker, or a slow learner. But given the fact that he started his working career, if you will, at least according to him, as a construction worker, you would think that he would have been able to use his years of experience in other areas since he was a construction worker to know that Donald was just plain lying. The problem is Hannity was just plain lying too. Nobody could have thought, believed, with any sense of hope that Mexico would literally build a wall and stop illegal immigration into the United States, since prior to 2007-2008 timeline, about a 25-30% of the Mexican economy was based on money being sent back to Mexico from people working in this country illegally. You don't hear any of the Republican or Democratic candidates say that they are willing to enforce immigration laws against employers. And there's a reason for that. The Republican icon, Ronald Reagan, was the guy that stopped the Immigration Service from enforcing laws against employers for hiring illegal immigrants. Ronald Reagan did that because he wanted to destroy the unions. The unions created middle-class America. And that's what the Republican Party has been about for decades. In 1993, a president by the name of William Jefferson Clinton tried to reinstate the prosecution of employers for hiring illegal immigrants. And President Clinton sent what's now called ICE, the immigration what is it called? What's ICE stand for? Immigration something or other. Because he sent the Immigration Service to some meatpacking plants in Georgia and arrested the owners. Well, when the Republicans found that out, they pulled funding from the Immigration Service. and said they would never put money back into the Immigration Service as long as Clinton was enforcing the laws against employers. So Clinton backed off. He didn't go to the press and start telling them what the Republicans were doing, as he should have. He just backed off. Of course, that was in a time when the Republicans were spending tens of millions of dollars investigating every sneeze that President Bill Clinton had over the past 10 years. And the American people loved it. Why? Why? Because of bigotry and hate. Hate. That's why. The Republicans ran by the one percenters, a media that was consolidating at warp speed, supporting, being driven by one percenter philosophy, conservatism, republicanism, anti-Americanism, anti-middle class Americans. That's what we had. I am very sorry for some of the things Bill Clinton did, allowing NAFTA to go through, being tricked by the conservatives that put NAFTA together. Without Bill Clinton's help, NAFTA would have never became law. But he was a freshman president, if you will, in the lame duck session of 1993, when the Republicans managed to get the treaty through the Senate. We don't do these trade agreements by treaty anymore because the senators don't want to be singled out for blame for shipping American jobs overseas. But both presidents have done it. I mean, both parties have done it. Bill Clinton got the ball rolling with NAFTA, followed it with the World Trade Organization, and at least one other, probably two, but their names slip me right now. George W. Bush. He wasn't so much a trade guy as he was a senseless war guy. He was too busy going to war against people that hadn't attacked us. You know, that's called a war crime, by the way, my friends. And war crimes do not have statutes of limitations. So if we could get a president in there with a backbone, George W. Bush could still be tried for the war crimes he committed during his presidency. Just saying. You can give me a call at 217-FLY-LIVE if you want to talk about that one as well. It is 56 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. You're listening to The Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. You can tell how reasonable just by listening to my voice and understanding the words. I'm going to go to a public service announcement. Here it is.
For decades, Champaign Telephone Company has built their reputation by delivering forward-thinking products, competitive pricing, and personal customer service. With CTC, businesses can spend less time trying to understand what customers are saying and more time communicating with them. CTC is located at 1300 South Neal Street in Champaign or online at ctc.biz. Phone is 217-344-4444 or visit the showroom.
WFT Champagne 90.1 FM. Give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. What other kind of great news do we have to talk about? I know what we can do. There's always something we can do. We can go to a little bit of a musical interlude here. Sting, If Ever I Lose My Faith in You.
Progress.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. 2 minutes past the hour. Let's talk a little bit more about Donald Trump and illegal immigrants. Donald Trump is seeking status as hypocrite-in-chief of illegal immigration. That's my humble opinion. And here's why. Among Donald Trump's many business ventures is a modeling agency. He gets good-looking foreign women to come to the United States as models. Sometimes they're runway models, sometimes they're hand models, sometimes they do commercials, stuff like that. When you come to the United States from another country to work, it takes a particular type of visa. If you come to the United States on vacation, you agree not to work. Several of Donald Trump's models have said they were told to use tourist visas to get into the United States to do their modeling work. That, my friends, is illegal. That, my friends, is the use of illegal immigrants. Donald Trump has got the low-information conservative voter all tied up in how he's going to stop illegal immigrants. Problem is, one of Donald Trump's businesses not only uses illegal immigrants, but encourages them to get here and tells them what to do. Get a tourist visa, come over here, we'll put you in this runway to show off these dresses, and you can make a lot of money. And of course, the women are okay doing it. I mean, some of them are. But one of the two of the former Trump models said Trump's agency encouraged them to deceive customs officials about why they were visiting the United States and told them to lie on customs forms about where they intended to live. One said she received a specific instruction from a Trump agency representative. Quote, "If they ask you any questions, you're just here for meetings," end quote. "Oh, I'm just here for a business meeting. I'm not doing any real work." "I'm just here to see Disney World, Disneyland, the Grand Canyon. I'm just visiting to enjoy myself." Donald Trump's agency instructed its clients, the models, to lie to customs officials, according to at least two of the people that Trump's agency had come here. This is the guy that's going to build a wall and start his deportation force. Deportation force. When Barack Obama became president of the United States. There was a bunch of hubbub in the dittohead media about how Barack Obama was going to create his own police force, his own security forces, and they would be subject to his own rules and instructions. There never was one of those. But now the Republican, Donald Trump, says he wants one. There was a world leader back in the day that wanted his own immigration force as well. And they had special uniforms. And those uniforms became known as the brown shirts, because their primary job was to round up German citizens, Belgium citizens, French citizens that were unworthy of living under the control of this leader. Donald Trump says that he wants to create an immigration force. Some of his spokespeople are now saying that he doesn't really want to create a new immigration force. He just wants to change the direction of the current immigration force from border security to crime prevention. He wants to increase the size of this one-time border security organization 2 or 3 times and give them the authority to stop all criminal activities having to do with immigration. Rather than just protecting our borders, which is what the Immigration Service is used for now, what its mandate is now, he wants to maybe triple the size of the force and start going into homes in Champaign and Urbana and gathering up people that don't have the proper documentation. Just like the leader from the 30s that had his brown shirt guys going into people's homes to check their documents. Check their documents. Is that really what America is like? Are y'all good with that? I had a discussion with a friend of mine a day or so ago about how she was happy to give up freedom for security, because the Patriot Act does take away some of your freedoms, and it promises you greater security. And she was happy with the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act is a club used by the fearmongers to get you to give up your freedoms, to make you take your shoes off at the airport. I think it's just now the United States and Israel that make people take their shoes off at the airports. And I think we're the last two countries in the world to still do that silly stuff. Of course, there hadn't been any more shoe bombers, but that doesn't matter. If we can make the people dance on the head of a pin long enough, they'll do what we want. And they'll do it shoeless. That's the kind of fear that these conservatives want you to have. The fear that they get to listen to your every phone call to make sure that you're towing their definition of the line of true Americanism. I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to allow the government to go into my databases online to see what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything illegal. But I do not think they should be doing that without a warrant, without some reasonable cause to search my databases. But right now, the Patriot Act gives the government much more authority and ease of access to your every word online or on the air, on the telephone, than you ever had given up before. And the conservatives say, oh, you've got to be afraid. Because we are the only ones that can protect you. We know how to protect you. Didn't protect us from the Boston bombers? It didn't protect us from I'm trying to think of another real terrorist attack in this country. And there really isn't any other real terrorist attack. That's the only one that I can think of. If somebody can think of another one and help me remember, my goodness, please do that. 217-FLY-LIVE, 217-359-5483. But I don't think there has been another real terrorist attack other than the Boston bombing. We've had some people beating their chest and spouting words that were anti-American that have been able to be sold fake explosives. We've had some of those. If the FBI hadn't sold them fake explosives, maybe they would have gotten their own someplace else. We don't know that. Or maybe they would have just quit talking about it if somebody didn't encourage them. I don't know how many times people were... I almost said trapped. I don't know how many times people were really suckered into following through on what would have otherwise just been language. You don't see, especially not under the Trump people, you don't see very often the Trump people going door to door in communities across this state and nation, and every time they see a Confederate flag, try to get somebody to kill a person of color. You don't see that. You do get conservatives saying it's okay to kill people that are involved in the abortion business. You do get that. But you don't get people doing it because of race. You don't have a organization from the government that if they see a Confederate flag flying at your home, try to get you to go shoot blanks at a black person. You don't get that. But if they hear you use certain words in your telephone calls, there's a chance that you'll have a knock at your door and encouraging you to buy bomb-making material. There is a good chance that will happen. People who are willing to give up their freedoms for safety deserve neither safety nor freedom. That's a paraphrase from Ben Franklin. I like it. It is true that if we stop, it may be true, we don't know it's true, but it could be true that if we stop trying to sell fake bomb-making material to people that talked about making bombs, somebody may get killed by a bomb. It's possible. Our entire judicial system is designed to correct a problem rather than prevent a problem. Our entire judicial system has said that it is better to let 10 men go free having committed a crime than to send one man to jail that did not commit a crime. That's what our judicial system was originally designed to do, at least in theory. It probably never got to that point. But it's a good point to try to get to. Back in the day, when George Ryan was governor of Illinois, we released 13 people from death row because they had not committed the crime they were convicted of. And at the same time, executed 12. Our judicial system is flawed. It's not always right. In my opinion, it's better to let 10 guilty people go than have one innocent person executed. And that's why the death penalty should be so rare. The death penalty should be saved for certain cases. And frankly, I don't think killing a child even is one of the cases that the death penalty should be available for. Some of you are going to hate me for this. The killing of a child the killing of a child, the perpetrator of that death should have to live in general population. Because even people in jail hate child murderers. And some people in jail understand that they can only get so many life sentences. I gotta quit this. I gotta quit talking like this before I lose my mind. It's 23 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign, 90.1 FM. Give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE, after this public service announcement.
Programming at WEFT is sponsored in part by The Upper Bout, a retail music store with a different kind of attitude. The Upper Bout has an extensive selection of guitars, amps, accessories, and more. They offer lessons as well as sponsor in-store concerts. All the information as well as online shopping is available at www.theupperbout.com. The Upper Bout is located at 723 South Neal Street in Champaign and is open Monday to Saturday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. I'm trying to get my computer to load this piece that I want to play for you. It may or may not load. Y'all know I've had some trouble getting my my audio clips to work. And this looks like a repeat of that kind of failure. Let's see if I can refresh that. No. You have no idea how frustrating this is. This is a... this audio clip is a Sean Hannity clip, if you will, from yesterday. And Sean Hannity was going on and on about how the Never Trump people are dead enders. That's what I call them, he said. And now they have taken it a further step, another step further. And they've launched a TV ad campaign. They want to sabotage any chance Donald Trump has of beating Hillary Clinton, and they want to help Hillary Clinton become president. And let me be clear. If you're a Republican conservative and you're not supporting Trump, you're helping to make Hillary Clinton president, whether you want to hear that or not. That's sort of the way it sounded. Who would I want to be president? Bernie Sanders. The corporate media destroyed Bernie Sanders' campaign before it even got started because they kept him off the air for the first 6 months, the most important time when name recognition was absolutely critical. They kept him off of mainstream media for the first 6 months. They never mentioned his name in the dittohead media hardly either, because once again, they didn't want anybody to know who Bernie Sanders was. They didn't want people to know that one of Bernie Sanders' primary positions was health care for all. Universal health care. Maybe Medicare for all. They didn't want you to know that Bernie Sanders wanted a $15 minimum wage by the year 2020, I think it was, maybe 2018. I think it was 2020. By the end of his first term, he wanted the minimum wage to be $15 an hour. Bernie Sanders was opposed to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a program that will send more American jobs overseas, is supported by Barack Obama still, and now Hillary Clinton has decided that, well, maybe we shouldn't do the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And Mitch McConnell swears, promises, that he will not bring that up for a vote in the lame duck session after the election. He swears, promises, won't do it. Really? If the Democrats were able to garner a majority in the Senate, the Trans-Pacific Partnership will be voted on in the lame duck session, because right now the Republicans control the Senate. And the conservatives, whether they be Barack Obama or Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or any other major political player that does not have to answer to his constituents, like a senator does. Senators do have to answer to their constituents, way more so than do congressmen. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. But the reality is, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, if the Democrats take control of the Senate, is dead. It will not be passed. Once again, the Democrats will have a spine and will vote against legislation that damages middle-class Americans. That's part of what this election is about. Mark Kirk supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership, even though he may say he doesn't right this minute. The day after November the 8th, November the 9th, he will have another epiphany and decide that, oh, I was wrong about not supporting the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now I love it. Because he's a Republican. All politicians, to a certain extent, say what people want them to say. They do, because they want to get elected. But you got to look at history to see who actually carries the water and tries to work for the benefit of people. Hillary Clinton has worked for 30 years to bring a little bit of equality, respect, justice to middle-class Americans. Donald Trump has worked the past 30 years scamming people, whether it be through his Trump University, or his building projects where he has a small independent contractor putting in cabinetry in one of his office buildings. And then when the job is done, Trump says, ah, that corner's off right there. That one. I see that corner's off. I ain't paying you a dime. There's about 3,500 lawsuits against Trump right now by middle-class Americans because he's refused to pay for the work that he has asked them to do. And they've done it. So, that's kind of where we're at with that stuff. It's 32 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm going to go to a public service announcement, then I'm going to come back to the issue of congressmen and their lack of accountability, if you will, to their constituents. Here's a public service announcement.
Programming for WEFT is brought to you in part by Minuteman Press. For a few special invitations printed or thousands of full-color flyers, Minuteman Press can help get it done on time and in budget. They offer an extensive line of products as well as design services. Phone is 217-355-0550. They are located at 905 South Neal Street in Champaign, or www.champagneprinting.com.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. Let's figure this out. I know we can do it. Let's talk about why congressmen really have very little responsibility to their constituents. I think you all know why that is. It's because congressional maps, legislative districts, are drawn by the legislatures in the various states. And those maps are gerrymandered, if you will, to have a probability of one side or the other controlling, maintaining control of the legislature, and the state is the first thing they do, and maintaining a control of the number of congressional U.S. congressmen that go to Washington. The legislative map situation. And when you end up with a state that is primarily Democratic and a governor that is a Republican, you have this huge push for a thing called the fair map. The fair map would change the way electoral districts are drawn and take that authority away from the, golly gee, 100 or so House and Senate members. I don't know how many legislators we have, but let's say there's 100 of them. It would take that authority and control away from those 100 people and give that authority and control to one person. One person. One non-elected person. Does that sound fair? You know what that does? It's what Republicans have always thought. And what Republicans have always thought is that the chattel out there, the hubbub, aren't smart enough to vote. So we've got to tell them what to do. The 17th Amendment to the Constitution gives you the right to vote for your senators. Prior to that, the conservatives that wrote the Constitution felt that you weren't smart enough to choose a senator, so you didn't get to vote. The legislature would pick somebody. The governor would, excuse me, the other way around. The governor would appoint somebody and the legislature would approve them. And they would be your senators. The problem with that process came up when you had a governor of one party and a legislature that was dominated by another party. And sometimes the people of a state would go for two or more years without a senator, because the legislature would not approve the governor's appointee. Just like we have now with Republicans approving President Obama's appointees to the federal bench. So the 17th Amendment allowed us all to choose our own senators. The Republicans, every election cycle, you will have a handful of Republicans running for office, running for Congress, running for the Senate, running for the presidency, for God's sakes, that say, do away with the 17th Amendment. Do away with it. Go back to letting the governors appoint people to the Senate. Good idea? No. Is it a good idea to have one person draw the legislative maps or 100 people negotiate the legislative maps? Which is fairer? Which gets more voices in the game? One or 100? It's not hard to figure out, but the Republicans have never trusted you. That's why they only can control you with fear, smear, and prejudice. If they can gin up your fear, smear the other guy, pull in a little prejudice, they got you. But if you can think and see beyond their manipulation, this country will continue to be great, and that is what generally happens. We have a small problem right now, and that small problem is called the media. Back in 1980, before Ronald Reagan decided to stop enforcing the anti-monopoly laws, it took about 100 corporations to reach 80% of the population of this country. Today, it takes 6 corporations to reach 80% of the population of this country. 6. Monopoly? Yeah. You have 100 people trying to keep a secret, it's impossible. You have 6 people saying, we're not going to let Bernie Sanders have any time on the air. Highly probable. Highly probable. We need to break up these media monopolies. We need to break up the banking monopolies. We need to break up monopolies of all different kinds. Walmart should have never been allowed to go into general merchandise, food, and now pharmacy and automotive repair. They should have never been allowed to have all of those near monopolies. Not automotive repair, but tire repair. They should have never been allowed to have those near monopolies. Every time a Walmart goes into a community, jobs are lost. And more money goes to Arkansas. The five Walton kids, and now you add in the grandkids that are getting some of that money, make over $800 million a year because the Walton family owns 51% of Walmart. So every time you go to Walmart and they make a dollar's worth of profit, 51% of that, or 51 cents, goes directly to the five Walton brats and their kids. And we have allowed them to develop a monopoly. And right now, Walmart is in the process of taking out some fairly large corporations. This is drifting a little bit into a financial talk, and I don't really mean to do that, but the Dollar General type stores are getting in a bit of trouble because of competition from Walmart. Used to be Walmart would, well, I'm not going to get into that. Just trust me. The Dollar General type stores, the Family Dollar type stores, are starting to get into some serious trouble in competition with Walmart. Walmart has already taken out almost all of the mom and pops. It's hard to find somebody that will change a tire for you someplace other than Walmart. It's hard to find a hardware store that is not either a big box store like Menards or a Walmart. Clothing stores, oh, they were destroyed within the first moments of a Walmart coming to town. And on it goes. Trying to avoid talking about financial things. It's 46 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. We can indeed figure this out. I promise you. I think we're going to go to another little musical interlude. In about 15 minutes, we will have Adrian in here with the Sync Sound System. The Sync Sound System is brought to you by Adrian on the 5th Wednesdays of each month, so he'll be in here in a little bit. Let's have a little Ann Feeney. Have you been to jail for justice?
Was it Cesar Chavez? Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King or Gandhi set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. You law-abiding citizens, listen to this song. Laws were made by people, and people can be wrong, so wrong. Once unions were against the law, but slavery was fine. Women were denied the vote, and children worked the mine. The more you study history, the less you can deny it. The rotten law stays on the books, do folks like us defy it? Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. Now the law's supposed to serve us, and so are the police. When that system fails, it's up to us to speak our peace. It takes eternal vigilance for justice to prevail. Get courage from your convictions. Let them haul you off to jail. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Will you go to jail for justice? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine.
Yes, yes, yes. The only candidate for president this year that had been to jail for justice was Bernie Sanders. But we've talked about that before. Let me throw something else out there. I see that time is running kind of short today. And like I said, Adrian will be in here in about 10 now. Couple of things. First thing I'd like for you to remember is that Donald Trump was recently recently accused of child rape. Bill Cosby was accused of drugging and having sexual relations with actress wannabes for years. And Bill Cosby has only recently had to start standing tall for his alleged charges. Donald Trump has been charged in a federal lawsuit for a 1994 rape of a 13-year-old girl and that has been postponed, that trial has been generously postponed until after the election. Not going to hear that trial before the election. Child rape trial. Not going to hear it before the election. We know that one of Donald Trump's runaround buddies was a child rapist. because his friend pled guilty. We know that Donald Trump is a misogynist. Because his campaign committee has admitted that he automatically disqualified all women from consideration as vice president because they were women. That's misogyny. We also know that two prior sexual assault court claims have been filed against Donald Trump. The first time was his wife, Ivana. She said under oath in 1989 that he had violently attacked her, ripped out her hair, and forcibly penetrated her without her consent. The second case was from 1997. A 34-year-old woman by the name of Jill Harth alleged in a federal lawsuit that Trump violated her physically and mental integrity. He touched her intimately without consent. And emotionally devastated her. She didn't talk, at least partly, because her husband was trying to do business with the Trumpster. Jeffrey Epstein was the friend of Donald Trump that had confessed. Jeffrey Epstein was the notorious billionaire pedophile. He's now a level 3 registered sex offender. The most dangerous kind, a threat to public safety. And a friend, one-time friend of Donald Trump. I don't think they hang around anymore since the Donald decided to run for president. A woman by the name of Tiffany Doe said that she recruited the 13-year-old Jane Doe to have sex with Donald Trump. Subsequently, Donald Trump said that he could make Jane Doe disappear if she ever told people what had happened. And on it goes. You people, I don't mean it to sound that nasty, but people that support Donald Trump, really need to think about what they're doing. Some people like to say that Clinton killed 4 people in Benghazi. there's been 10 Republican-ran investigations of the Benghazi situation, and all of them found Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama not chargeable for failure to do anything to save those people, not chargeable for killing those people, and yet the dittohead media continues to have you think that they did something wrong. And a lot of you still do think they did something wrong. I've never been a Hillary fan, but I'm not a fan of a child rapist, even less. I'm even less of a fan of a child rapist. If the charges against Trump are true, if Tiffany Doe told the truth, if Jane Doe told the truth, if Ivana Trump told the truth, they weren't all against minors, but they were still against women. It is 1 minute before the hour. Adrian will be in here any second now. I'm going to kick out of here with a little David Rovix, Resistance. I will see you next week, and I promise next week I will have a more exciting program than this week, even though I have enjoyed it very much. You be safe till next time. Bye for now.
You can say that it's about the savages. You can say you have a better way to live. You can call it manifest destiny. You can talk of all your civilization will give. You can say that we're a thing of history.